Have I any real evidence sons to walk the mount. Returning to him, who ultimately in this life will know the same experience as the disciples of old did at this particular time, rebuking the winds and the sea and the being of great calm. At the ultimate with the people of God will they, he will rebuke the winds of death. There'll be a great calm as they enter into the joy prepared for them as time began. It's certain, friends. But in the time state, if you and I have an interest in this great work of salvation procured alone by a precious Christ, no man has any hand in it. And none can obtain anything that will take them to glory in his own strength, in his own wisdom or ability. It comes in that word continually, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. It's the only way of salvation, the work of the living God. And what he does is done forever. And what he does in the sinner is perfect. If he's touched you and I, it is indeed a great mercy, for he never retracts. No matter what our feelings may be from time to time, no matter what power the adversary may have over us, yea, friends, I dare go to this length, no matter how far the enemy drives us into sin, he'll never retract. If the Lord has set his love upon us, while we would quickly say there is no license to enter into anything like that, if we fall under sin, the Lord will reprove, he'll chasten, he'll bring us into trouble, into darkness, which will never be into death. If the Lord has begun a work in us, it is forever. What we need again and again is to seek to find those evidences. Oh, my friends, the pathway here of these disciples as they're in the boat with the Lord Jesus will be the same pathway running parallel with it in the experience of the people of God to the end of time. If the Lord hath brought you and me into that right road which leads to life, there'll be winds of adversity, and there'll be great mountains, great seas that threaten to swallow us up from time to time. But there still will be the same Jesus, and he'll give just the same power to you and me if we're found amongst his people to call upon him. And as in the case of the disciples in the boat, he was asleep. Being a man, he was naturally asleep. But often in the experience of the children of God, in the different places they come into, the trials, the dark places, the fears, he seems to be so far away as though he doesn't hear them. But it will be the same outcome. Ultimately, he will arise. He'll rebuke the winds and the seas. There'll be a great calm in time. With always that certainty, there's going to be the final calm and entrance into the Lord. And what a beautiful one. First, my friends, again and again, I have to set it forth. Man is utterly ruined through sin. Utterly ruined. Not just something small, something that doesn't matter, a casual sinner. Not to come into the place to to say with others, why all men have sinned. We know it's so. It is in the Word. We believe the Word of God. Oh, do, friends. The children of God will be brought low, laid low, brought into a place of intensity of need. God, help me. No chance work with the Word of God. His people will be taught knowledge, not to come into a place fearing, hear from someone else, understand in one's natural ability by reading the Word of God, having a natural religion brought up in it. The Lord will bring every one of His people to His feet. God, help me. I'm a sinner, Lord. A vile sinner. Or some may say it is sentiments. I know it isn't. My friends, there will be no knowledge of Jesus and His love, His mercy, His great salvation until there be a bowing low at His feet. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the flesh will never come in our way unless the finger of God be laid upon it. The flesh, again and again, comes into that place, and it's proved in the experience of the children of God, as they prove they carry about with them a body of sin and death. I won't have this man to reign over me. I will go my own way. Oh, perhaps some of you here are not quite so deep as that in the way you walk, but I know some of you are. The Lord brings some of these people into extremely deep places. But there will be a measure of it. From time to time, the enemy, who is a great enemy and has great power, will fly upon those things that belong to ruined nature, and he'll prove your own weakness, not strength. And he'll bring you into places of desire at times. It is all very well saying, why, I'm a religious person, I'm a Christian, I believe in the Lord. I seek to obey His holy law. There would be no such word as this, my friends, were you able to stand in your own strength when the enemy comes in like a flood. The Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Or from time to time you'll come with such power in laying up and won't destroy you. That standard of a precious Christ is all atoned by. And that finished work that brings forth the almighty power of God to put His foot on the neck of Satan. This character then will know some of your sin under the teaching of the living God. Do you know anything of it? It makes you prize him. Perhaps one says, we've heard you say it so many times. I've proved it so many times, friends. There is a continuing need in the experience of a child of God to pray, and that prayer to enter into the ears of the living God that something shall be done. Oh, a young man, quite a young man, I met some weeks ago in one of our chapels. He was a stranger to us. He'd come in. The Lord had opened his eyes in very great measure, though he didn't belong to us as a people. told me, angel, what it was to drive what Jacob did. To wrestle with the living God, he said he'd gone backwards and forwards in his room one night, telling the Lord he must work, for he couldn't go on. This is the way the Lord teaches his people. He brings them into a place where they walk in the experience, I can no denial take. Why? Because it's complete for Jesus. Chapter 1 yet answers. This is the way the Lord brings his people. Men can teach. But what men set forth, if it be only in their own strength, is but a veneer. It can be rubbed off, and it will be. And if those things that come about in time, that the flesh cannot stand against. But the Lord teaches his people in their hearts. And he brings them into that place of knowledge, so that they're able to say, in face of the enemy, from time to time, that this God is my God, he is the living God. And they have the evidence of it, because they enter into the truth of that word, that Christ is God, I care about, and for his people cares. For I pray to him as such, and he has heard my prayers. Real religion came. As the Lord brings his people then to the footstool of mercy, convinces them of their sin, he leads to Jesus Christ. Here's where the answer is. Here's how they obtain mercy. Nothing in themselves to bring before this God. It is the justifying righteousness of Christ. Oh, what mercy there is here, friends. Man unable to do any of this himself, the Lord God hath decreed this is the way they should come, and he gives them the power to wield that precious name. He gives them the power to wield through precious faith the atonement. He brings them into that place where they won't give up until he answers their petitions. Know anything of this, friends? The Lord is a sovereign. The depth of this pathway is in his hands. Some go exceedingly deep. But all shall know measure of it. There'll be an exercise before the Lord then. Say, my past, knowledge of me, knowledge there is condemnation in this God, unless for the forgiveness of sins. There can be mercy in no one another. It is all in the merits, the righteousness, and the precious blood of Jesus. This is the way the character comes. You come this way, there'll be some knowledge of acceptance. Again, my friends, isn't it hearsay? Although it says in the word, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all these troubles. That won't do. You need to know it yourself. Be knowledge in the heart, the Lord God hath heard you cry, for he'll give you a measure of peace. Again, in his sovereignty, the ultimate end of it is in his hands, that is the full knowledge of forgiveness. So he gives that knowledge in early days, others they go through their lives, some near to the end. Gifted to them. But there are these evidences in the pathway. evidences of grace and acceptance. He shows them that he hears their prayer and he enables them to press on. This character now is set on a pathway of war. There's a battle. There are battles between sin and Satan. There'll be troubles in the way. Satan knows everyone, whether it's a manifestation of the love of God. But when the sinner prays, Satan knows he's lost him. The poet says, Satan trembles when he sees the weaker saint upon his knees, because he knows the truth of God. If God be for us, who then can be against us? He lost the battle. But he'll continue, while like lasts, to endeavor to prostrate the work of God. So there will be, though now, walking with Jesus. Well, here we have the disciples in the boat with Jesus. Yet this great trouble arose and they feared, Lord, save us, we perish. This will be the path, my friend. None of these disciples, they'd seen the Lord Jesus attend to that poor leper who came and said, Lord, if thou wilt, mainly clean. And the Lord Jesus had put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will be there clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Here the disciples are in fear. Jesus is in the boat with them. They knew what he had been able to do then, that case of leprosy. Two or three times in this chapter, the centurion, the Lord Jesus told him because of his faith, it was to be well, and so it was well. We have the account too of this poor man, possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce. The disciples saw these things, and this particular one, the account of the boat, comes before the man of the devils. But they had seen these things before. Quickly they forgot. So it will be with you in your pathway, poor sinner. Though the Lord bless thee today and lift thee up, deliver thee from a dark place, although he opened a door, but there was apparently no door, come tomorrow in another trial. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan his work in vain to his waiting friend. Is there someone here tonight in such a dark place? Got a trial? See how Jesus spoke to his disciples. It was love. There was a rebuke. But he didn't leave them. Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? So easy to speak this way from pulpit. I know, my friends. But be one here tonight in the valley of hell. Not much comfort for someone to say, Jesus lives, you mean love. It is much comfort to say, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. It is much comfort to say, the Lord knows all about it, and the Son is said, my times are in his has begun a good work in you, he will perform it. He will perfect it. In the performing of it and the perfecting of it, he'll continue with you in all your trials in time. And he'll see to it that none of those trials will swallow you up. But he'll cause them to establish you deeper and deeper in your God, in Christ. Because there will be again and again deliverance from the dark place. And the outcome of that deliverance will be you put a new son in your mouth. You grant unto you that gracious ability to crown your Jesus, Lord of all. Bring you into a sweet knowledge of union with him. But it has not. The Lord Jesus said, "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So I give you the foundation of this, my friends. Though I can't cause your trouble to fly, the foundation of the certainty that your trouble will go, if this God is your God, his name is in it. He cannot deny himself. Now any of me would have rejoiced if he left his disciples in their trouble. Get on with it. You've seen so many things before. I've proved to you that I'm able to do these things. Here you are, disputing, fearing. He doesn't speak that way. He has recorded in his word that he remembers we are just and mercy of his. So, my friends, whatever your case is, you got to take it to the Lord. Take it just the same way as the disciples did. Tell him you've come to the end of your wisdom. You got no ability to manage your case. Take it to him in just the same way. Say it to him, Lord. Oh, but you can speak to him in a right way. Save me, Lord, for unless thou doest it, I must perish. For there's no one else I can look. There's nobody else who can help me. All my hope is fixed in thee. Oh, what a neighbor to speak such language, then. For I tell you, that though your case be the deepest of cases, though thou feelest none ever had such a case as thou art able to pour out your heart before this God, it is because he's given you ability to do it. And the ability he gives to his people is because he has a purpose in satisfying the desire. And that purpose is his own great honor and glory. It is to bring his people again and again to that place of witness before men and elders. His people shall stand out as a people loved of God and passions. And again men will marvel to see that their God is able to uphold them, to bring them through in spite of all the things that come against them. Your case, a great case tonight, the current thing, belonging to this life. Something perhaps that with you continually, how shall I go on? Is there no end to it? The answer there, my friends, is that you do go on. you have done so far. And how do you go on if this place is so great? It is because, without a doubt, underneath are the everlasting arms. It is because the living God supports you. Why doesn't it? Oh, it is good to examine these things. It's because he loves you. Though you say he doesn't, have there never been any times in your experience when you felt a lot to him? Where did that come from? For the Lord hath declared that man is utterly ruined, from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. And the word declares through his servant that the heart of man is deceitful of all things and desperately wicked, and that the carnal heart is enmity against God. Now then, where did this love come from? The love to God. Now you deny you never had such a time, never been a feeling of love to him. My friends, the Lord loves you. Why does he love you? All these questions. When the child of God gets just a brief sight of what's in his heart, brings him to the place of poet's experience. Why me? Why me, O blessed God? Why such a wretch as me? Well, if you come to such a place as this, what is the answer? Why does the Lord love you? Such a wretch as you, who can't stand in the right way for one moment, who falls under the power of the adversary and his temptation and the subtle suggestion. You who know that if left to yourself, you turn the other way. Why is it? Because God sent his own dear Son into this world to seek and to save most of us. Because he had an eternal purpose to save the people, not that they ever would be worthy in themselves, not that they ever would be able to attain to his righteous law in order to walk it out and fulfill it. Because in his sovereign will and eternal purpose, he chose them in Christ. He knew that in his own dear Son there would be a satisfaction given to his infinite justice. That he, in the fullness of time, should come into this law world to be born of a woman under the law, made flesh and blood, yet without sin, and to fulfill Holy Lord, every just and tender in his walking for flesh, and ultimately to satisfy divine justice in laying down his holy life on Calvary's tree, there to pay for the sins of his dear people. Yes, the amazing thing. And this being so, surely there is an end to your trouble, whatever it is. And our expectation shall not be cut off. It is God's own word. So, my friends, he will arise and rebuke the winds and the sea, and there will be a great calm, there will be idea for making it to come. Nothing comes by chance. Oh, but there are greater trials than time trials. The children of God know what it is to have within them a wicked heart. Sometimes it brings them into that place, oh, that I am not of myself. You know what this is? Is this what some of you are tonight? It isn't very often I speak of myself. On Wednesday morning of this week, it was the Lord, not me. In the place where I'm staying, I was on my own for a little while, and I fell down before him with real exercise of heart. And it was to tell him that I had forsaken him, that I had turned away from all those things that he had made dear to my heart. My thoughts were continually on the things of this life, and oh, how I begged him to make it up for me. Not very often, friends. I know what it is to be found in this place of darkness, but oh, what mercy it is for the Lord to work and bring one into a place of willingness to be different. He gave me such an exercise before him, and throughout it all, Lord, I will not let thee go, thou must deliver me from this dark place. Well, I can tell you now, friends, it is a long day, many a long day, since I've known what the last 2 days have been to me. Read not so much of his word, but this again is in the hands of a sovereign God, but all the sweetness I have found in reading some of the records of the saints of old, the contact, the communion, and the exercises that they have had in days come by with their God. And how he opened to their hearts the preciousness of Christ. As I've read many of these accounts in the last 2 days, oh, the sweetness that has been in the testimony of Jesus. Precious, precious Jesus. All my salvation. It is the living God. You know him, friends. Only he can work like this. But he will. Ultimately, there will be a great calm if there be one here tonight in trouble, soul trouble. If there be one here tonight who knows the language experimentally of the psalmist, say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. He will come. It is his own work. Man can't produce these things. And man will never enter into that holy place where Jesus waits to be gracious, except the Spirit of God take him there. But my friends, if there be that exercise with you, that he will deliver you from this wretchedness of heart, the coldness, the hardness, the emptiness. His Spirit is in it. There will be an entrance into that holy place through a precious Christ to our lips to make intercession for sinners. It's a blessed way, friends. disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And as I was coming down tonight, I was under some temptation over this word. But it stood out to me, and I believe it to be true, in spite of the temptation of the adversary over it. This word records his disciples came to him, not anybody else. It seemed to open up to me tonight, friends, as I came along, that the disciples of God are the only ones, those who are led by the Spirit of God, who will ever come to Jesus saying, Lord, save us and perish. And that being so, he brought you and me into that place from time to time, or perhaps tonight, an exercise before this God, without a doubt, although there may be a rebuke, for at times he does rebuke his people. He brings them into the place to feel shame in their hearts that ever they did doubt this God who had done so much for them, made so many ways for them, upheld them and blessed them, kept them in days of straits. He does rebuke them at times, but he'll bring you in his own good time into this place of deliverance. He allowed and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. What is this great calm coming in the concept? Heart is something that at times is more to be felt than to be expressed. The presence of Jesus, and that peace that passeth all understanding, a realization that he loves you, a certainty felt in the heart he has redeemed you. They're not too great, these things, friends. I know what it is to have an unbelieving heart. I know what it is to be cast down and under the temptations of the evil one who says you've lost the way, it is all myth, you've got no real hope.
Thank you.
glory, chanting together and individually, Hallelujah to the Lamb, mighty one. Times the enemy casts you down, and this to be a final day, be a great calm when Jesus takes you long out of time into eternity. Apostle said, I have not seen nor ear heard, nor have we entered into the heart of man.
Swallowed up by the enemy, I'm still your God.
I will never leave you nor forsake you. Then he will arise and rebuke the winds, those winds of rebellion, those winds of temptation, and the winds of fear. May the great calm. And when Jesus comes, he comes again, his promise. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. How sweet to be amongst his people, saints. For there is no change in him. He waits to be gracious. Whatever the case is, what is it all for? It's to bring you into conformity with the Son of God. And one day you'll be like him, swallowed up in him. But in the current state, the heavenly potter will be chiseling again and again to bring you into conformity.